Today's daf is daf Mem Hei, and we are holding in one of the most exciting sugyas. We're right here in Perek HaZahav, fourth Perek of Bava Metzia, and we just had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and they questioned as follows. This machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which we saw yesterday, was in terms of being mechalel a coin, or being a coin of silver to a coin of gold. The question over there was whether the gold is considered to be the coin, and relative to the gold, the silver is merely peirot, or whether the silver is considered to be the coin, and the gold would be peirot. That seemed to be the machlok. That's all they spoke about. So according to Beit Shammai, you can't be mechal a sell on a dinner. According to Beit Hillel, you can be mechal a sell on a dinner of zahav. In other words, so the zahav is considered to be the coin. Now we had a machlokus Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether that would extend even to the question of whether you could be mechalel peirot onto the gold. So in other words, if you hold that the gold is considered to be the pre in relative to the silver, so then the question is it even a pre relative to peirot? Or no, obviously relative to peirot, it's considered to be a coin. We didn't know who said what yesterday. We said one Mandi Amar said, well, obviously gold is certainly a madbea when it comes to peirot. The other Mandi Amar said, no, gold, if you hold that gold is peirot, like Beit Shammai, so then gold is peirot, even in terms of being mechalal, a tomato onto gold. And today the Gemara wants to bring a raya as to who said what. Because yesterday we said, we don't know, Chad Amar, V'Chad Amar, it was either Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, we don't know which one said what. Today, says the Gemara, Mem Dalet Amud Beis, one line up from the bottom, Tistayem, we can conclude, I believe, with the following additional information, that it was Rabbi Yochanan, who the Amar in Mechalalim. Rabbi Yochanan was the man Yomer who held that, according to Beit Shammai, even peirot cannot be mechulalim on dinarim, and that means that the dinar zahav is not relatively peirot; it is peirot. And I'll show you why I say that. Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, asur lilavot dinar b'dinar. You can't even lend a dinar zahav for another dinar zahav. That's what it ends up meaning. He just said dinar. Now that could have meant kesef. So first, let's establish we're talking about zahav. So you're saying dinner demai. What is this dinner made out of? I mean, if we're talking about a dinner shel kesef, the dinner shel kesef, legabi nafshe, nigal amar lav tiva. I mean, we never found any shita that said that kesef is considered to be, even in terms of kesef itself, not money, and that it would be included in sa'ah b'sa'ah. Lending a commodity in exchange for that same commodity, which we said yesterday is usur, because of the possibility of ribit, since the value of commodity will always fluctuate, so I can't give you back the same commodity, even if it's a bottle of milk. How do I know it's not going to fluctuate? If it fluctuates, I'm giving you more money. I need to borrow money for money. That I can do. But money is always defined as the non-fluctuating entity. So certainly kesef, I mean, kesef stam madbeah is called kesef. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to say that kesef in exchange for kesef is considered to be sa'ah b'sa'ah. That's mad. The only question was relative to gold, right? But certainly, there was nobody who was questioning the identity of silver as being kesef. So that's certainly lav tiva havi. Nobody holds that. So pshita, what we've got to be talking about is dinar shel zahav. Now, that we can understand, since there is some question as to whether zahav is considered to be peirot. So then, we would be saying that it's possible that it's such peirot that it's exchanging basically tin for tin, zinc for zinc, gold for gold. So now who would that be going according to? I mean, certainly not according to Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel was the Mandi Amar who said that the standard was gold, and that if there's variations in exchange rates, then the variations are seen relative to the gold, not the gold relative to the fluctuation, right? It's not the price of gold that's changing, it's the price of other things that are changing in terms of the gold. Again, since this whole thing is relative, obviously we can look at it in both ways. So every society defines some peg against which there needs to be a referent, against which other things are referred. Otherwise, the whole thing is ridiculous. We're back to a barter system. So what are we pegged at? So that was the machloket, okay? So it can't be Beit Hillel who holds that the peg, which is basically the braita that we saw before. What is a pruta? Pruta is pegged to the iser, which is in turn, it's pegged itself to the dinner, which in turn is pegged itself to the dinner zav. So that meant that ultimately all things are seen in terms of zav. So it can't mean, according to Beit Hillel, that you can't exchange a dinner zav for dinner zav, because he's the one who says tiva havi. So then what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? There's only one meaning to this statement. That I'll leave it to Beit Shammai. who said that Zav is Peirot, it is completely and totally Peirot, which means you can't even exchange it for itself in a loan. So then he must be saying that it's pure Peirot, even vis-a-vis the exchange of the Peirot of tomatoes of Maaser Sheni for the Zahav. That's what he would be saying. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. It's certainly more a matbea transaction, where you're transacting a loan in matbeot, than it is to exchange a tomato for it. And even there he's considering it not to be a matbea, where the context is showing that it's a matbea. So we've got our solution. Says the Gemara, actually it's not a solution. And I'll tell you why. Because you took for granted that if anything, if you would hold that you could not exchange a zahav for zahav as a loan, kol shekein, you can't use it as the basis of a chilo of a tomato. But that's not really true. Because there needs to be an understanding of the set of finances versus the set of issues that has to do with chilo. Now, I can understand that once I've defined in terms of the set of finance, okay, what is zahav for financial purposes? It's a commodity. So then if it's a commodity for financial purposes, then in terms of a loan, it has to be seen as commodity for commodity. But that has nothing to do with the set of transactions called chilo. Set of transactions called chilo could certainly be understood as a relative sense of pure peirot, because you're not dealing with an abstract pre, you're dealing with some edible entity by definition, otherwise it's not Maaser Sheni, right? So here, where pre is abstract in the world of finance, so too is the concept of commodity versus exchanges. Masha Inkin, in the world of chilo, where we're talking about real life tomatoes that squish when you bite into them, so over there, we can understand that, of course, but Zav would still be a coin vis-a-vis a tomato, and that still would be true. So it may well be that Liyola may malach Rabbi Yochanan Domer Mechalalina. Rabbi Yochanan may be the one who holds that according to Beit Shammai, you can be Mechalal a tomato on gold. And he would still say that when it comes to a loan, gold is considered to be a commodity. Why? Because Kiva Delinian Mekachu Memka, since in the set of financial entities, we needed to define gold as a pre, Shavina Rabbana Kipira, the Amrinan, meaning, what is the meaning of defining something as a pre? Not that it is something that you put in your mouth and eat, because the world of finance is entirely abstract. So what does it mean when it's a pre? Namely, that Ihu Nihu Da'okir Vazil, it is what is fluctuating in value. That's what a pre means, versus the Matbea, which is defined as the peg, that cannot be fluctuating in value by definition. So therefore, if we're defining it as something that fluctuates in value, so how the heck can you exchange it in a loan without getting into the problem of commodities and so on and so on? The definition holds across the board. You can't say it's relative. And therefore, Shavina Rabbana Kipero, Daminu Nadu Kivizil, the Gabi Alva Anami Pirahabi. And you can't avoid that. By the way, I mean, this is not a Dreykov. This is straight out, clear cut, factual. Because Achidami Mistabra, because when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he actually quoted Rabbi Yochanan as making that distinction himself. And now we really know what Rabbi Yochanan holds. That Rabbi Yochanan said, Afa pisham ru asur lilvot dinner b'dinner. And now that could only work out a little bit of Beit Shammai, as we just showed. Ava mechalalin maaser sheni olav. Nonetheless, that same sheet that holds you cannot be malava. Dinner zav for dinner zav agrees that you can be mechalal a tomato on a dinner zav. So obviously, Shema Aminah, that these are two different worlds. The world of finance is a completely different world than the world of Bechalal and Maaser Sheni. It's completely irrelevant whether Zahav is considered to be a pira in the world of finance when it comes to the difference between foodstuffs and coins. Okay. So now we see clearly, we now know who holds what in that Machloket. The opposite of what we thought. But now I can let me start discussing whether Aliba the Brayot or Mishnayot, such a thing is really possible. I mean, these shitas add up. The sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Take a look at this. Here's a Mishnah. Haporet Sela Mima'ot Maaser Sheni. See, we're talking about a Mishnah in Masechet Maaser Sheni, and somebody is coming. The word porate, by the way, is a very confusing term, because the word porate, the way we think about it in English, is to change the coin into lesser coins. Right? Because porate, in other words, I want my change, But in Mishnaic terms, being as the standard was that you would want to buy bigger coins, so it was an exchange of coins that was called pirut. Pirut could be taking your prutot and buying a larger coin with it for a fee, or taking a larger coin and changing it into prutot. The word meant it was used in both directions. So over here it means haporet, meaning you want to buy with prutot. You want to buy now the from prutot nechoshet with your maaser sheni. You want to buy another coin to take up to Yerushalayim that will now decrease its weight. So you want to buy a silver coin with the gold, with the nechoshet. So Beit Shammai says, Bechol hasela ma'ot. Now Rashi learns that this means, that according to Beit Shammai, you can use all of your coins of nechoshet and turn all every last one of them into an exchange into silver. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, no, you can't do that. You must leave some of your coins available for immediate usage in Yerushalayim. Because we don't want you to come to Yerushalayim and have to run to a bank, and only then be able to, nobody, no storekeeper is going to do it for you without charging a lot of money for the exchange. So that means people will be coming to Yerushalayim standing in line in the bank. That's not what we want. We want you to get out of the airport, take a cab to your hotel, and then go to the makolet. We're not interested in crushing the purchasing of food in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we made a takana and said, you cannot cash all of your money into more valuable coin. So you can use half of it, b'shekel kesef, you can buy half of it, you can buy kesef with, but b'shekel ma'od, you got to leave the rest of it, you've got to keep your ma'od. So now, that's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that if that were the explanation, then this would be a kula of Beit Shammai. Why wouldn't it be listed among the kulot of Beit Shammai? Because Beit Shammai is essentially saying, do what you want, and Beit Hillel is saying, you can't do what you want, which is a kula for Beit Shammai. But this is not listed. Therefore, says Tosfos, when Beit Shammai says, b'chol ha'sela ma'ot, he is being mechayev b'chol ha'sela ma'ot. What he's saying is, don't do this in stages, because for each stage, you pay a service fee. So that would be crazy. Why would you, and who's going to pay the service fee? The Meiser money, right? So you're always going to be giving a certain percentage for every time you make an exchange. So in order to avoid the wastage of Meiser Sheni money, because those banks, they get you coming and going. So in order to avoid this.
Never change.
Yeah, those Pharisee money changers, they're the problem. So the Jews always controlled all the money. They had it against us from the beginning. So because of that, Beit Shammai is actually being machmir that you can't. It's not up to you. That's the shot. Okay.
If you're going to do it, you have to do it one time.
You have to do the exchange one time. We'll see in the opposite direction. So there's two possibilities. Let's take that possibility. We'll talk about the other possibility in a moment. So now, excuse me, but I'm just curious about how in the world you got prutot that were Meiser Sheni? I didn't quite catch that. I mean, I assume there's only one way to do it. You don't have a prutot tree, right, that's growing the Nechoshet coin. So that means you must have been Mechalo, we're talking about Beit Shammai, must have been Mechalo, Meiser Sheni, onto Nechoshet. So in other words, even though Nechoshet is considered to be a commodity when it comes to silver, it's all relative. No. So you see clearly in a Mishnah, what are they arguing about? In a Mishnah, we see clearly that a commodity can be a coin relative to Perot. So how could Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish be arguing as to whether Beit Shammai holds that if he says so? The Pharisee in a Mishnah. So therefore, ask to the Gemara, it's a brilliant question. So it's all very nice. But the problem over here is that, let me just find a question. Hashal Beit Shammai legabe prite mechalamina. If you're even able to be mechalamos by Shesheni on Nechoshet, which is clearly, I mean, much less hard, doesn't even have the mila of the Zohar, and you're able to be mechalo tomatoes onto that. So the guy be da'avami, boy. Well, you're going to tell me that but gold is even less than copper? And it is less of a coinage than copper is? So the Gemara, yes, that is possible. Because remember we said yesterday that we had a havamina, that prite could be in a place where that's what's being used, more chorif even than kesef. It's only because of the universal aspect of money that we changed the pegging exchange into kesef. But in terms of the local usage, there may well be a reason to say that nechoshet can be looked at as a coin to a tomato, whereas a krugerrand is not a coin to a tomato. Maybe. So maybe shiny prita, ba'at of the sagan, charifi. In a place where it flows, then it is a lot sharper flow than the gold will be. So there you go. Okay, so this was now our first take on the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about, aliba, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Now, there's a Lishna Achrina that have it a completely different issue. Fascinating. Same Achloket, but the issue involved is not the relationship of commodity to money. It's a new Chiddush Akra that has something to do not with the world of finance, but with the world of Chilul. So let's take a look at this Lishna Achrina. Lishna Achrina reads the Machlokas like this. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Chad Omer Machloket Bislaim Al Dinarim. The only Machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is if you're trying to be Mechalal a coin of silver on a coin of gold. Beit Shammai says, why does it say in the Pasuk Vitzarta HaKeset B'yadecha? What do you mean, the money? I mean, it's not the money. It's just money. There's no the money, is there? So the only meaning for the hey ha-yidiyah in this case could be kesev rishon below kesev sheni. The money means the money upon which you did the chilul, and not the money which is the money that you exchanged for the money that you did the chilul. That would be the hey ha-yidiyah. Take that money which you were mechalal the tomato on and take it to Yerushalayim. But you can never exchange that money for some other money. So therefore, unless you had a money tree, there's no way to take your silver coins and use them to exchange the gold coins, because the Torah said, only the original money, and you can't do it again. Okay? So it's a completely different issue. It's nothing to do with commodities. As a matter of fact, as the Gemara will point out in a minute, you might as well have talked about changing a silver coin for another silver coin. It has nothing to do with silver for gold, because that's not the issue, the relationship of silver and gold. Okay, but that we'll talk in a moment. So here it's Gzerat HaKatuv, Kesev Rishon, Velo Kesev Sheni. Whereas Beit Hillel Sabrit, Beit Hillel says, yeah, so then why does it say, it repeat again, that the after Vitzarta Kesev Biyadecha, it says, V'natata Kesev B'chol HaShirta V'nafshecha. Why doesn't it say, Unatato? So if it says, V'natata HaKesev, it's coming to be Reboy, any Kesev. Whatever that Kesev is, by the time you get to Yerushalayim, which may be now, you know, 10 steps later of translating one coin into another coin that's passed through different countries, it's irrelevant. Take that kesev. So clearly you see that you can turn one kesev into another. So that's a riboy vafila kesev sheni. Aval. So here's the machlokas by Shemayim Beit Hillel. The machlokas Rav Yochanan. Keep doing that. The machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Aval. So one man the Amar says, now when it comes to peirot al dinarim, what's the problem? Of course you can be mechalal tomatoes onto gold. Because we're not even discussing any coin. I don't care what kind of coin it is. Any coin is fine for the initial chilul. So you could take perot ha-dinarim, divrei hakol mechalal dinarim, because they're not even discussing the question of gold versus silver. Was another, the other man, the armor again, whoever he is, v'chad omer, af perot ha-dinarim, nami machloket. There's even a machloket over there for another reason, of course. That's because, according to Beit Shammai, zahav happens to be a pri. It's a commodity, even legabe, some edible unit called a pri. So because, conceptually, any commodity is the same. Whereas, okay, so we have a machlokas over here, the same machlokas, but it's about a completely different issue, turns out. The original machlokas is about a different issue. Now, excuse me. Lamandiyam is Sloyim al Dinarim machlokas. Why are we arguing about Sloyim al Dinarim? Why can't we even argue about Sloyim al Sloyim? I mean, it is so confusing for you to introduce the machlokas over here, a machlokas of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, about whether you could exchange a silver dinner for a gold dinner, when it really has nothing to do with silver and gold. It only has to do with this being the second exchange. I mean, wouldn't it have made it a lot clearer to say, to exchange one silver type of coin for another silver type of coin? So let's say you have, Tosis points out that you might ask, I mean, that would be pretty dumb, because you're just going to lose money. Maybe that's why we can't talk about it. Because since all coins, through a takana, if you remember, which we spoke about earlier, all coins are usable in Yerushalayim by government decree in order to, exactly, to avoid this kind of problem. There's no such thing as coming into Yerushalayim and finding out that they won't accept rubles. They will accept rubles. Okay, so then why in the world would I change dollars into rubles if they're both silver? Why would I want to exchange them to pay the extra? That, of course, is just being mopsy the most. So that I can't do. So why would I have used anything but the additional value of turning silver into gold, because it's going to be a lot easier for me to transport gold? That's the point. I mean, why would I talk about silver into silver where it's all the same? Says Tosfos, even though that may be true by government fiat, government fiat and the practicalities of the marketplace are two different issues. And it's still going to be a heck of a lot easier to use a coin that is a standard coin in Yerushalayim than to use a coin that's a non-standard coin in Yerushalayim. So I don't have to go to the special government banks and so on and so forth. So I want to do that. That's not a kasha. What? But I mean, it's very confusing to talk about the issue of gold and silver when you don't mean the issue of gold and silver. You mean a chiddush akra that is exerts a cause of a hakes. So therefore, how do you explain that if that's the machloket? So ad miflegei b'shloim al dinarim, why not argue about shloim al shloim, which is a big chiddush? I'll tell you why. Because the Afrika Bislaim Aslaim tell me that big chiddush, I wouldn't have known another very important chiddush. I would have said, okay, the whole machloket here is whether we darshan kesev hakesev. That's the point. And the machloket Beit Shemayim Beit Hillel is limited to this. So Havamina, I would have said, okay, that's the machloket. Havamina Bislaim Aslaim. But when it comes to Slaim al Dinarim, even Beit Hillel, who doesn't agree to the Gezerat HaKasu of Kesev HaKesev, because there's another HaKesev which is Marbe, at least when it comes to the question of gold and silver, maybe Beit Hillel would have been motivated to Beit Hillel, to Beit Shammai, that the Havalagabi Kasper Perav, that indeed we should use gold as a commodity, and for a different reason I would not be able to be Makal silver onto gold. Not because of the Gezerat HaKasu. So in other words, this way we address two issues. A, what's the din of gold and silver vis-a-vis Beit Hillel Shita? Is gold a commodity or is gold a coin? Gold is a coin. B, what's the din of exchanging even one coin for any other coin? If it's real coin, according to Beit Hillel, permissible. According to Beit Shammai, not permissible. Because of Gezerat HaKatur. If I would have limited to coin to coin, I would have known nothing about gold and silver. So obviously this is a much more effective way for me to carry the information. But it leaves one question up in the air. Doing it this way illuminates Beit Hillel, but leaves us dark about Beit Shammai. Because about Beit Shammai, we only know that there's a problem of Gzerat HaKatuv of Kesef. We don't really know what the din according to Beit Shammai is about commodity definition of gold. Now that we don't know. Here comes now the machlokes of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about that hidden area. That fourth of the question. So there it comes along. There's where we have, this is the Ikedi Amrei, says it's there that we get this question. So then, according to this, Chad Amr, so now when it comes to Peirot al Dinarim, so there we don't know. So, Kamash Malan, to Avamin, let me see that inside. What did we get up to? Iyiflik b'sloim al-sloim avamin anamil b'sloim al-sloim avamin b'sloim al-dinarim odalu beti lil b'chamad. Today avil gabi kaspa piravi v'loma chalalinan. Kamash Malan, and now we have that machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. What would be that din about actual peirot? Tashma. So here we have the opposite use of the word poreit. Ha poreit. Now we're talking about exchanging kesev for prutot. You're in Yerushalayim. You're being poreit sela shamah ser sheni Yerushalayim. So Beit Shammai says, well, in the other direction, it's also true. If you want to exchange the whole thing all at once, you may. Again, this is Rashi. According to Beit Hillel, no, don't do that. B'shekel kesev, b'shekel ma'ot. What you want to do is you want to exchange gradually. So now, again, Tosef says, well, now this may also be that it's Beit Shammai that's l'chumra. Beit Shammai is saying you don't have the right to do anything but the most effective use of the bank service charge. So if you're going to be using an ATM, take the charge once, not twice. Whereas Beit Hillel is saying, do whatever is convenient. In which case, Beit Hillel would be the one who is being makel and allowing you to accept a service charge of an ATM against your Meiser Sheni account, right? Okay, so that would be a kula. Now, it's possible, says Tosafot, that there's another issue involved. And that the other issue is the question of the danger of ipush on the choshev. It might not be a service charge, machlokes. It might be a shaila of whether you need to worry about having copper coins, and copper tends to lose value over time because it becomes now oxidized. Okay, but he said, I'm not sure. I mean, it may be that really, you know, there's an issue of the service charge, the copper one direction, maybe there's an issue of turning into copper in the other direction. Okay, I mean, insufficient information, basically. But the point is that it does say over here that according to Beit Shammai, you can definitely exchange your coins into copper. How can you exchange your coins into copper? I thought there's a Gezerat HaKatuv that you can't exchange coins into coins. HaKesef. And now you're in Yerushalayim, and it says, V'natata HaKesef. So according to Beit Shammai, HaKesef means the original money. So you can only use the original money in the store to buy V'chol Asher Te'aveh Nafshecha. So obviously, he doesn't hold of what you claim the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is about this new Gezerat HaKatuv of HaKesev VeHe'a Yediya. It's got to be some other issue. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, that's a little silly. Let's just see the question inside. So Hashta Kaspel Gabe Prite Mechalalino. If I'm even able to turn a silver coin into a copper coin in order to buy things once I get into Yerushalayim. V'lon in a Kesev Rishon, V'lon Kesev Shin. Nobody came up with this weird new halacha nobody ever heard of before. It's got to be the money with the capital Hey. So the Gabi Da'ava, the Choshubi, if there's a problem of buying gold, somebody's going to say, Ha Kesev? V'yamin a Kesev Rishon, V'lon Kesev Shini? Oh my Rava, what has gotten into you? You're asking about the inverse relationship when you're in Yerushalayim to the relationship of buying coins to get to Yerushalayim. What's wrong with you? Those are opposite worlds. Yerushalayim kemotavta. Shiny Yerushalayim. And the whole point is when you get into Yerushalayim to be able to effectively translate that money into food. That is the whole point. Whereas on getting up to Yerushalayim, we're talking about a dispensation that allows you to bring coins up to Yerushalayim despite the fact that you're losing money in the process by buying more expensive coins, right? I don't understand what you're talking about. So when it comes to Yerushalayim, there the whole point is, v'natata kesef b'chol asher te'aveh nafshecha, b'bakar, u'batzot. Isn't that what it's saying? Make life easy for yourself. Anything that you want. B'chol asher te'aveh nafshecha. Do you want to go into the makolet and pay with a golden coin and have the guy throw you out on your face? No. Okay, so b'chol asher te'aveh nafshecha means to go to a bank and to buy whatever is going to be convenient. That's what it means. Now, Tosis points out that obviously we understood that, of course, Yerushalayim is the opposite of outside Yerushalayim. I mean, we're not stupid. But what we thought was that now you're telling me that the whole halacha is because of a gzeres hakosef, kesef rishon, v'lo kesef sheni. So then it's across the board. It's initially, if we're talking about the act of chilul, peirot onto coins versus, that I understand, that's the whole idea. You're trying to turn peirot into coins and then coins into peirot. Now maybe it would be pretty dumb to ask, gosh, how can you turn the coins into peirot when you get there? What was I supposed to do? Make a stew of dinrei zahav? I mean, that was the whole point of being the dinrei zahav in the first place. Nobody's going to ask a question like that. But if the word hakesef means what you say it means, then it should mean the same thing when you get there. You have to go directly with whatever coin you brought up to Yerushalayim, not waste any additional transactions, and transact that coin onto the... Now, that makes sense. Says Rava, it may make sense, but that's the point of B'chol asher te'aveh nafshecha. The Torah wants you to enjoy whatever you desire. That riboy tells you, even when it comes to making life easier for what coins you're going to use to buy. Right? So now it becomes a very intelligent discussion.
The pasuk itself, it's not that kesev.
Correct.
It's the same pasuk, but the
fact in other words, you can take even that kesev and use it for anything.
No, right. Okay.
That's
right.
The point.
You do the vitzarta at home.
The vitzarta is there, and over here it's v'natata, I guess. Toshma. Right? I mean, indeed, that would be, according to this, that would be Beit Hillel Steiner. That if HaKesev can't mean that in the second place, so it's obviously a reboot, right? HaKesev in the second pasuk, right after that, v'natata HaKesev, it's absurd to say that that means that it's the same HaKesev, but over here on Bing Marbury, you can use that HaKesev to buy Nechosh. Doesn't make much more sense that the Torah is just saying, whatever, right? Okay. Toshma. Okay, let's see the other Mishnah that we had initially, we used in the first Lashon. Now you're outside of Yerushalayim. You have the same question we asked before. How in the world did you have the choshet that was the meiser sheni? You're saying over here, and you're now taking it and buying a second order coin. It's just a question of how much you can buy if you didn't grow those coins, and obviously you had already been mekalel onto those coins. And now Beit Shammai is only discussing, and how much can you buy? What do you mean, how much can you buy? The Torah says you can't buy anything. Whatever coin you took, that's the coin that you have to bring up to Yerushalayim. So how in the world can anybody seriously say that there's a gzerata ketuvah, according to Beit Shammai, that you can't buy another coin with a coin? Beit Shammai is discussing that openly in the Mishnah. It's crazy. Now you're going to answer this one. It's hopeless. Clearly, that was a wrong way of understanding the machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Ela de kulei alma kesef kesef riba, filu kesef sheni. There was no such machloket. It was a nice dream, and it doesn't work out. Let's get down to reality now. Ela I itmar de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. You want to explain now the ikka de amre in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? It goes like this. Archi alma. Chad omer machloket beselarin al dinarin. The second Lashon says that the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only Sela on dinner because Beit Shammai Savri Gazrina. It's not because of the exchange of commodity to coin. That's not what the Machloket is. The Machloket is based on a Gezera. We're afraid that people, in order to make life easier on themselves, will say, I don't want to go to Yerushalayim carrying all of the silver and having it jingle around. I'm going to wait until I have enough money to buy a gold dinner, which I will then put on the bottom of my shoe and walk up to Yerushalayim and not have any jingling money bags, which, of course, in those days is something that you take very much into consideration. So I'll skip this Aliyah L'Regel and I'll go next time when I have enough money to use my Miser Sheni in a convenient way. So therefore, we make a Gezerah, Shema Yasha, Aliyota. We're afraid that people won't go and do Aliyah L'Regel. That's all. It's a Gezerah. Because they'll wait to Zindad Olamali Zuzib at dinner, right? Look, it's very often not going to have that much. A dinner Zav is a lot of money. So they're going to have a dinner Zav. So they'll wait until they get a dinner Zav together. And Velo Masik, and they won't go up to Yerushalayim. So in order to avoid that, we say, no, you can't do that. We're not worried about even if you don't have a full dinner, you could still go up. Now, how did it get to a discussion about payroll? I'll tell you why. Because what one man Yomar says is, what's your problem? You'll be Masha Aliyotav, and what are you going to do with your tomatoes to be Masha Aliyotav? You're going to keep your tomatoes for 6 months? I mean, obviously, you can't do that. So therefore, there's no gezerah on peirot. Because peirot, for sure, you can be mechal on a dinner. They're keeping the mirkeve. Since the peir, they're going to rot. So you're not going to keep them around. Lo mashile. You're not going to go ahead now and be mashe peirot. And there's no chashash that's possible you'd be mashe peirot. Once we made a gezerah, that's how Rashi learns. Many of the other Rishonim learn. There's another machloket because of the issue of whether Zahav is a commodity or not. In other words, this Lashon doesn't completely abandon the other Lashon, according to them. It's just adding an additional element that was the essential machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but they weren't discussing the problem of Zahav being a commodity. According to Rashi, we didn't even know about that issue. It's definitely, that's a relative question. We're not dealing with that. Now, it says the Gemara, Bishlema Lach Lishna. According to this last way that we've explained the Machloket, the Reyoch and Resh Lakish, they're actually arguing only in terms of Gzeh Rabbanan. But really, Miniraita Mishra Shari. There's no discussion as to whether this is a Dioraita issue at all. So it's just Rabbanan that the Gozer obey. The question over here is, can you be Mechala Lechatchila? So, but Bashenkin, the other way we were learning it had to do with whether, in fact, this is a proper Chil. And is it considered to be a violation of the Pasuk of Rishon, or is it a question, is it in violation of the Shaila of Mo'os and Peros? Yes, but if you're learning, the way we're learning now, that Midiorite is actually Mutter, the only question is Shem Yeshe Eliyotav, that would explain why the Machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that discussed before in the Mishnah was talking about whether you can be Yases La'im Din Rezav or Lo Yases La'im Din Rezav, and not, as one of us, was about what to do. Should you do it or should you not do it? It wasn't about what it would be chal or it wouldn't be chal. Because Beit Shammai avoids the word ein mechalalim, because that would mean ein mitchalalim, that it won't even happen. So it's only exeris that they tell you what to do. But if you're learning Lahaklisha, we were learning before, the question was that it was a midiorayta pligi. And then the reason you can't be mechalal is midiorayta, either because the dinner zav is considered to be a pre, and you can't be a mechalal, or might be on perot, or because the idea is kesev rishon velo kesev sheni. Maybe so. Then it should discuss whether mechalalin velo mechalalin, not yase, as we said before, yase salaim din rei zahav, but rather lo mechalalim salaim al din rei zahav. And miboy, that's what it should have said, because that's a question of a dioraita, may even be ma'akev. Says the Gemara, okay, but that's not a fatal problem, is it? Kashya.
Now, Itma, Rav Levi Chadamar Matbea Nase Chalipin. Getting back now to reading the Mishnah. Remember that, what was our initial take on the Mishnah? Initial take on the Mishnah was very clear. We're talking about, in the first part of the Mishnah, exchange, that we need to define commodity versus coinage. And then the second part of the Mishnah was discussing a whole new issue, which was exchange of commodities, which is called Chalipin, that has a whole different thing. So one is the question of kesef kaina or meshicha kaina. That's the resha of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah is chalipin kaina, which is exchange, all different type of kenyan. Now, I know for a fact that you were bothered by something because you raised the issue yesterday. What's very bothersome in the Mishnah is the word koneh. Hazav kone et hakesef. That is very disturbing. Because the word kone, for one thing to be kone another thing, really only works with chalip. You can say hazav mechayev et hakesef, right? But kone means that the mocher now owns that money, meaning wherever it is, which, I mean, that's not true. It's just that I have to pay him the money. If he handed him the money in his hands, then you could say, and at that point he would be koned in the sense that he can't change his mind. But that's not the way you use it. I mean, those are words that are used for chalipin. Those are not words that are used for mekach u'memka transactions. That's very disturbing, because we seem to be using the language of chalipin on the first part of the Mishnah, which is talking about kinyan of kesev versus meshicha. And meshicha just gives the buyer possession, but it doesn't automatically provide possession to the seller of the money. Only chalipin can do that, right? Chalipin, remember, is an idea of entangled particles. My shor and your chamor are now entangled. So if I will take possession of your chamor, my shor becomes now your shor, and your chamor becomes my chamor. And it has nothing to do with kinyan chutz or wherever it is, with vision, nothing. That's a brand new concept. That means I could transfer ownership, which is the tremendous convenience of kinyan tzedek. I could transfer ownership on an item wherever that item is, and now I don't have to worry about it, which is great. Normally it's a whole ass, because how do I take possession of something without actually being there? Or I'm out on a ship. All of those issues where we need it to work out, and we're gonna rent you the space, and all kinds of crazy things. If you could use chalipa, that's great. Because once you can entangle two things, then you can act on one, and the other one is affected, no matter where it is, right? It's great. And the Mishnah seems unaccountably to be using the language of entanglement rather than the language of kinyan on a particular entity. So now, this has to become clear in this next piece. Because of it, we bring in this remarkable taina of Machlokas of Rav and Levi. Can a matbeya be exchanged for a matbeya? So far, we've talked about buying and selling matbeot. And we looked at exchanges of matbea as buying and selling. So that when you walk into a bank and they have exchange rates, it says buy, dollars with shkolim, sell. Two different lines in exchange rate for every currency, right? Buy pounds, sell pound. Okay. And that's how the Mishnah, we thought the Mishnah would meant. It's buying and selling. One man, the Amar here, says, no, you can also exchange coins for coins. So in other words, if I want to exchange 25 dinar kesef for dinar zahav, I can exchange it. And then I don't need to buy and sell, which would be tremendously convenient if I need to take possession of something somewhere else. You need to get the coins. I don't have it here. And I tell you, okay, this is now the money I have in a safe deposit box back home in Timbuktu is transferred to you now automatically. You own it. Then you take the possession of the safe deposit box. That's great to be able to do that. So says one on the army, either Rav or Levi, you can actually, now obviously you would have to define it that way. You'd have to say, look, I don't want to buy your dollars. I want to exchange my shkolim for your dollar. Okay, fine. But Chan Omer, you can't even do that. There's no way, even if you so define it. Even if you say, look, forget about it. Let's talk about commodities. What do you mean commodities? It's not a commodity, that's a silver dollar. No, it's only a silver dollar because it's got a picture on it. Okay, erase the picture from your mind. This is silver, and I've got some gold. Well, let's make an exchange of the commodities of silver for gold, which is a classic chalipin, and avoid the dollar issue. That's not the point. So then you can do that, says the other man. There's no way you can do that. Omer of Papa, why is there no way you can do that? My time at the man, Richie. Why is there a man who says, Aim, this is so brilliant, this is so amazing, this is so ahead of its time, so unbelievably sophisticated. What would be the reasoning for the man yomer imad be'anase chalipi? Because mishum de daite atzurata, when a person talks about dollars and rubles, he's not talking about metal. He's talking about the coin that has this surah on it. So what? This is an astounding gemara. So what? So what? The tzurata is avida de batla. The tzura per se can at any time be declared as non-legal tender. And who cares? This is incredibly sophisticated analysis. Who cares? If Mara hadn't thrown that in, you could have simply said, people can't get away from the matbeya relationship. But that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that ultimately, the utilization of coinage is based on the coin not being a discrete entity. This is fantastic, because as the Zohar says about Malchut, let le migar me klum. A Melech doesn't have anything of his own. That's the whole meaning of that medrash about David HaMelech not having any life of his own. It has to be given by Adam. Because the concept of Malchut is an emergent thing. It's not the person. You say, well, I mean, but David HaMelech has protoplasm. That's David HaMelech. That's not David HaMelech. Those are two different issues. The same, no, this is amazing. Because it's the Zohar in terms of down-to-earth Ma'aseh V'Mata. You're saying, but this coin has metal. That's very true. But the coin that you're using is mamish the word non-discreet entity. It's a relationship. What's that word in Hebrew? Lo misaymin. It is not a davar misuyan. It is not discreet. Exactly the word in English.
Discreet.
Yes. Yes, there are two discreets. One which is being discreet about being discreet, and the other one is being discreet because you're discreet. One is ETE and one is the ETE. So if there's no discrete entity, and what there is instead is a property is an abstraction that can't be given b'chalipin. And the reason for that is there is nothing, and this is astounding, there is nothing more down to earth than a shoe. And that's what we learn out of the pasuk. The basis of chalipin is a shoe. And therefore it says in Ruth, that was the minhag, l'kayem kol davar, v'yishlov ishet na'alo. Well, if Na'al doesn't mean down to earth, I don't know what does, says the Gemara. So then the way to define a discrete entity is a shoe. That's the idea. And therefore, you can't use a non-discrete entity as a shoe. So even though you're pretending that it's the metal, that would be like pretending that David HaMelech is protoplasm. Whereas in actuality, we talk about David HaMelech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, Hu David Atzma, etc., etc. We're not interested in the person qua person. We're talking about the person as he's been transformed into something that is outside of himself. So if that's the case, the same thing is true of an actual coin.
Investiture and
investment
money.
Oui, but it sounds cute.
Is that the same thing with Avram and shoelace?
I have to think about that. That's fascinating. That's beautiful. Okay, so that's a different question, says Rav Pop. Okay, Tzurat Avida the Batlan, my proof that it's not a discrete entity, is that it's defined abstractly. The moment it's determined that it's not legal tender, nothing changed. A discrete entity can't change by definitions, so it must be therefore it's the relationship to it. A relationship is not something that can be transferred to a colleague. Oh, yes. It's Malchus. Rashi uses the word Shamelech. It's a din in Malchus. Yeah, I meant to say that. Yeah. I said that last time? Well, I'm a pretty smart guy. I didn't know he knew anything. No kidding. Oh, I wasn't as stupid as I thought I was. I mean, as I now think I was. That's interesting. Okay, so, tonight, now let's take a look at our Mishnah. Hazav kone et hakesef. Now, when it says koneh atakesev, I mean, that has to mean b'chalipin, right? Because otherwise you can't say koneh atakesev. Now look, Tosis points out, though, we're not talking to idiots. Obviously, we read the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah says it doesn't work the other way around. If you're talking about chalipin, obviously it works in both directions, right? Hello, gentlemen! Wake up!
Yes,
absolutely. If it's chalipin and we're talking about exchanging the metal content of a coin for another, makes absolutely no difference who lifts up what. Chalipa, by definition, is you take the chamor, I own the para.
Right.
Okay? You take the para, I own the chamor. It really makes no difference. So then what difference does it make whether it would be the zahav or the keset? So obviously the Mishnah cannot be talking about chalipa. Any idiot who reads the Mishnah sees that, right? Wrong. And here's how Tosis explains it. And even though the Gemara is going to ask that in a minute, nobody is that dumb not to have looked at the next line of the Mishnah before asking that. The Gemara's concern over here is more subtle. Since the word koneh is ridiculous to use for the buying and selling of money where he's not koneh, the seller is not koneh the money until you give it to him. I don't care if you pulled your chamor, you owe him the money, but he doesn't own the money yet. What the Mishnah should have said is it's mechayev, not that it's koneh. The very usage of the word koneh tells me we're dealing with chalipin. We know we're not dealing with chalipin from the very next line. Must be that the Tana therefore uses the word koneh to keep open both possibilities. If you exchange money for money, it depends how you define the transaction. So if I tell you, look, I don't want to buy your dollars, I want to exchange my rubles for your dollars. Okay, so then you're talking about an exchange, which is chalipin. And there, enochinami, you would actually be koneh the opposite currency, wherever it is, in a safe deposit box in Moscow, for that matter. But if you're talking about I want to buy dollars, then I'd have to say that it's only mechayev me to give you the rubles. So the Mishnah keeps that open so that it uses a word to let you know, and by the way, I mean, you could, of course, do this with chalipin. So if you're talking about hazahav to kesef, it works in either direction. Either you could be kind of with buying and selling, or you could be kind of by transacting. But if you try it the other way around, a kesef ain't okonet hazahav, unless, of course, you turn it into a pure chalipin transaction. This is the way we assume that the Mishnah meant, according to this Zman Yoma. So therefore, if it says in the Mishnah, koneh, what else does it mean? Hazahav koneh ta kesef, my lab a chalipin, which means that at least there's an option for defining a transaction as a chalipin transaction. So, shmaminam, adbeanase chalipin, amazingly and counterintuitively to a simple reading of the Mishnah, the Mishnah is saying exactly the opposite of what you think. The Mishnah is saying that there's two levels of dealing with coins. You can either define it as a metallic interchange, which leaves it as chalipin, or you define it as coinage interchange, which is buying and selling. Great. Says he, well, nah, doesn't mean that. It means bedami. It's not leaving room open for chalipin at all. What? So then how could it say, azav koneh atakesef, for God's sake? It should say, hakoneh mechayev atakesef. Mechayev atakesef. Okay, is that what you want? That's what bothers you? Tni azav mechayev. So read that as mechayev. Koneh in the broader sense, meaning it makes it happen. So now it's a deal, exactly. Now you're going to have to pay for it. Hachinami mistava, but don't think that I'm just talking out of my hat over here, because, look, it does say, Miniktani seif hakesef enu koneh tazahav. Now what does it mean over there? Kesef enu koneh tazahav has to mean is buying and selling. And it's using the word koneh there, if it says eno, only in terms of buying and selling. So yeah, but we should like the damim, okay, then that makes sense. Because the gold is considered to be the commodity, the kesef is considered to be the matbea, and a matbea can never be kona, a commodity. Again, either by the writer, because of the takona of Shema Yomrlo, the chitotcha, nisfu ba'aliyah. Okay, but it's not kona. But if you're going to tell me, b'chalipin, I mean, the Mishnah is constructed in a crazy way. You're telling me it is kona in one direction, it's not kona in the other direction, even though the word kona is the one that you're using to leave room for chalipa. Does that make sense? So then why would you be contrasting it for something that still could be done with chalipin? Why can't it work in either direction? Zav for kesef, kesef is zav, we're talking about metal. Not to mention the fact that there's a brayta that says openly, Tanya, hakesef eno koneh tazahav, meaning what? Ketzad? Machalo esrim v'chamisha dinar shel kesef b'dinar shel zahav, af al pi shemashach hatazahav, even though he already took possession of the silver, the transaction can be canceled and lo kona, until he actually takes possession of the gold. The other guy. Why? Because we're talking about dummy, darn it, that's why. Because one is a commodity. But if you're talking about chalipin, nikne. Now Tosfos says, now wait a minute. Now one thing is being added by this brayta that wasn't said in the Mishnah. I understand. This is just expressing what the Mishnah says. Ah, says Tosfos, but if you understand the Mishnah the way we just explained it, that the Mishnah supposedly was multi-leveled and allowed room for both types of transaction, and that's why it used the word koneh, this brayta makes absolutely clear that that's not the case. Because the brayta is saying, you cannot be koneh achiyim shoch. There'd be no way that you could define the transaction to allow you to be koneh. That's the point. So then the brayta is adding something. If this brayta is coming to Pirush on the Mishnah, then it's dafka leaving out the piece about the possibility of turning the transaction into a pure exchange of chalipin rather than buying and selling. So therefore, the whole Mishnah at brayta now make perfectly good sense with my beautiful Pirush. And this is absolutely beautiful and sophisticated Pirush that allows a multi-leveled approach to the Mishnah in the Kasha and forces you to abandon a multi-leveled approach through the use of the Braita and through the use of the logic of the way that the Mishnah is constructed in the second piece. It's fantastic. I don't know how these people, like, you know, what did they feel when they had to go and they had to debate these primates that were really just primates? I mean, it's unbelievable. The level of sophistication is hopelessly inadequate for them to really debate somebody who knows some Gemara. And you have to sit there and pretend you're kissing the primate's ring, too. You know. Okay, so what are you saying? You're saying that the whole point of the Mishnah and Brayta is talking about domim, an exchange of money. Is that it? So then, oh, I got problems for you, buddy. Look at the Braita. Very convenient. You brought the last part of the Braita. Look at the part of the Braita that explains the first part of the Mishnah. Boy, are you going to be shocked. So then, Yachi, Emaresha, Hazahav Koneta Kesev. Well, that was very convenient, leaving out this piece. Ketzad. How is Zahav Konezakev? Makarlo Dinarsho Zahav. Vesrimi Chamisha Dinarsho Kesev. Kivan Shemashachet Hazahav. Now dig this. Nikna Kesev Bechol Makom Shehu. Now what does that mean, Bechol Makom Shehu? Even in a safe deposit box in Moscow. Now how the heck could that possibly be true? I mean, Yemet Bishleim Bechalipin. If we're talking about a Kenyan of Chalipin, then you can indeed exchange the Zov and your dollars for rubles. So then, Elchinami, I need it done. Need the Kesev Bechol Makom Shehu. Now you can talk about the money being in a safe deposit box in Moscow. But if you're not talking about that, you're talking about the Bedamim. This is absurd. What do you mean, Nikne B'chol Makom Shehu? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Of course it's not Nikne B'chol Makom Shehu. But all that it means, B'chol Makom Shehu, Nitchayev Gavra Mipoel. All you're saying is the guy owes him money. Whoever heard of using a language, wherever it is yours, if you're not talking about an entanglement. Omer Ravashi, well, that is a problem. But, I mean, it's so absurd that there's got to be a way out of it. Because, I mean, look, the last part of the Braita is making it very clear that there can't be Chalipin, and now it uses the language of Chalipin. There's got to be another explanation for the language of Chalipin. I mean, maybe what it means is this. Maybe B'chol Makom Shehu means Kimo Shehu. In other words, let's say, meaning Kiriyomar, like, let's say that the guy stipulated, I want to buy a dinner zav from you with my newly minted kesef. Right? So then, when it comes time to pay, he takes him out older coins. So the guy says, but you said you had newly minted coins. So he says, yeah, but these are more valuable coins because they're of a type that is more readily over la socher. So certainly I can pay you with these coins. I actually used my newly minted coins to give my kids for his coin collection. The guy can say, no, it is as stipulated. That's the meaning. Why? Because he can say, afagad adifiminayu. He cannot give him older coins, even though they may be better coins in terms of their ease of use. Because my time, the guy can say, look, when you stipulated newly minted coins, I wanted the metal newly minted, even though we're not talking about metal. This is why it comes now into the same context as the Chalipin. Even though I'm telling you, this is brilliant, even though I'm telling you, Chalipin won't work in terms of metal for metal, but nonetheless, you could still insist on the metal that was stipulated, even though you were talking about coinage. Aha! And that's the meaning of B'chol Makom Shehu. You said they were in my wallet with the new stuff. Those are the ones I want. Not that I own them, I understand, but that's what you mechayev, because I can say liyashnan kaba'ina. Since these coins were meant to be stored by me for the next 5 years in a safe deposit box, to me, it's less important that these coins are usable in the makola today than that they are in better shape metallically, and I won't have to worry about getting them polished up or taking some loss because of the silver oxidizing and so on. So I'd rather have the new coin. Nothing to do, because that wasn't my interest, to have Charif. Maybe this is Charif better. That's not my point. I stipulate it, I get. And that's why it says, in the context of a Braita, that says, never test the metal of a metal, but when it comes to a stipulation, then indeed I have a right to stipulate the metal. That's B'chol Makom, meaning in any wallet that you had defined it. Look, obviously the Braita is pulling a little trick over here and using a spin on the words to force us into getting to the bottom of what are you talking about. If you tell me on the one hand, I start reading the Braita and I'm convinced you're talking about Chalipin, and then I read the Braita further and you're telling me, ha-ha, so now what did I mean? So now you have to see it within the same context, but meaning something completely different. It's a play on words. And I force you to recognize it as a play on words. It's so sweet. Okay. All right. We'll talk about the rest tomorrow. I'll let you go. People are disappearing. I'm losing my audience. I mean, come on. This is such a show. It's good. I have to wait for another hour. No?
It's very compelling.
How about if we just take an intermission for an hour? All right. We do our... Tistayim, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Bakalalim. In Bakalalim, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a sure little vote, dinar bedinar. Now, what are you talking about over here? Dinar demayim, dinar shkesim, dinar shkesim. Nobody would hold such a thing. That's a gabi napshe. You're saying, Mila, come on, the armor kesef is not kesef for kesef. Elab shita dinner shel zav, but dinner shel zav. So now, according to him, Beit Hillel says that zav is the kivahavi. Elolav lebeit shamay. Vishma mina Reb Yochanan, who the armor ain't makalalina. No. It's going to be Oker Vizil. Okay, I'm going to stop. The Kiyata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Abba Bisham Rasul Levod Dinar Bedinar Avu Bekalalim Maaser Sheni Alav Shma Mina Toshma Haporet Selam Imaot Maaser Sheni Beit Shemai Amrim Bekala Selam Oot Beit Hillel Amrim Beshekel Kesu Beshekel Maot Hashtel Beit Shemai Lagabi Priti Bekalalinan Lagabi Dahava Miboy Shani Prita Baatra the Sagin. They're actually Harife Lishnak Rina Amrila Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Chadam Amar Machloket Bislaim Adinorim Debeit Shammai Savri HaKesef means Kesef Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni Ubeit Hillel Savri HaKesef Kesef Riba Vafilu Kesef Sheni Aval Perot Adinorim Debrakom Mechalalina Dakati Kesef Rishonu Vechadomer Af Perot Adinorim Nami Machloket Ulman Yom Bislaim Adinorim Machloket. Surely Adam Ifuge Bislaim Adinorim, you would make it clearer by having them argue about Sloim Al Sloim. No, because Yivug about Slaim Slaim, I might have thought that Anamil be Slaim Slaim where there's a Machloket Beit Shammai, but maybe Slaim al Dinarim, then Beit Hillel would also be moted to Beit Shammai. That Dahava Lagabi Kaspar is indeed a commodity in its Asif, Lo Mechalalino Gamash Balan. Toshma, Haporet Sela Shomaser Sheni Birushalayim, Beit Shammai Omrim Bechol HaSela Ma'ot, Beit Hillel Omrim Beshekel Kesef Beshekel Ma'ot. Now, I ask you, my friend, Ashta Kaspar Lagabi Prit Bechalalino. And nobody says Kesef Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni. You're trying to tell me the Gabi Da'ava, which is Choshem, you're going to tell me that it's Kesef Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni. Oh, my Rebbe, what's the matter with you? Yerushalayim k'mantavta. Sheni Yerushalayim? Is that the whole point? Yerushalayim is going to be tata Kesef Velo Shetav and Nefshecha. Baboker Vitzon. Toshma. Haporet Selam Imaot Maaser Sheni. Now we're talking about outside of Yerushalayim. Beit Shammai Omrim Becholah Selam Maot Beit Yelena Mabshekah Kesef Beshekah Maot. Okay, so clearly you can buy coins. Forget about it. The kuli amar kesef kesef riba, afilu kesef sheni. Yala itmar the Rabbi Yochanan b'shem lokish achi itmar. Chad amar machloket b'sela ina dinarin de beit shamay savrei gazrinan shema yashe aliotav. This is lo molu zuzi b'dinra v'lo masikol beit hillel savrei lo gazrinan shema yashe aliotav dechivu malu nami b'dinra asuki masikol. But when it comes to perot dinarin. It should say mitchalel or lo mitchalel. Not whether you're able to, allowed to, but whether you're able to. Miboyle, kash. Itma, Rav Levi Chadamer Matbea Nase Chalipin. V'chadamar matbea einase chalipin. Omer papa my time. The man yomer matbea nase chalipin. Mishum the daiti at surata. V'tsurata avita the batla. Tna, hazahav konet hakesef. My love v'chalipin. V'shma amina matbea nase chalipin. Lo, bedamim. Iachi, hazahav konet hakesef. Mechayev mi boile. Not konet. Tni, hazam bechayev. Achi nami mistava. Miriktoni seifa hakesef eino konet hazahav. So then how do you read the ratio? Hazahav konet hakesef kesef makalo dinar shosav besuvachamishad dinar shal kesef kivan shemashachat hazahav. Get this, nikna kesef bechol makom shu. So I yomer b'shem b'chalipin. Hainu diktori nikna kesef bechol makom shu. B'damim. What in the world is that supposed to mean? Nikna kesef bechol makom shu. The most you could say is he's mitchayev in the kesef. Omer Ravashi liyolam b'damim. And when it says bechol makom shu, it means in the state as you defined it. Could you omer le? So let's say he would have said, out of my arniki chadasha, yavin alecha. He can't change his mind and give him arniki yeshana. I said, look, it's just a deal and I'm paying you. Even though they're a defamine, my time and I'm like, yashlan kabayinanu.